Welcome to the episode on Psych Specifics. My name is Chioma Isiedinso, and I'm a doctoral student here at JMU. And with me is the wonderful Dr. Jessica Salvatore, and she is going to be telling us a little bit about psychology and her journey. So, shall we start?
Awesome.
Lovely. All right, so the first question I have for you, Dr. Salvatore, is in Psych 101, the students learn about the different perspectives or subfields within psychology, such as cognitive, social, clinical, and so on. Which of these perspectives best describe your training or research area?
Yeah, so I was trained as an experimental social psychologist. So studying things like norms, prejudice, stigma, conformity, those types of things with experimental methods. So mostly quantitative methods that manipulate something in order to figure out cause and effect relationships.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. Well, how did you get into this?
Yeah.
Inquiry minds want to know.
Totally. So how did I get into my research or into social in general?
Well, your research, but also broadly speaking.
Yeah, totally. So I think when I was in elementary school, I was very interested, intrigued by the social dynamics of elementary school. And it was really easy to see that there were some kids who were, you know, like high on a social hierarchy, and then there were kids who were more marginalized. And it wasn't necessarily obvious why some kids were who they were. And the sort of social dynamics around enforcing those boundaries were really interesting to me. And I think those types of observations like drew me into the field of social psych. Sometimes I think I should have maybe gone into sociology, which also looks at some similar stuff, but I just kind of got on the pathway of doing social psychology within the discipline of psychology and just carried on, like chugged along from there.
That's amazing. And that early in your life.
Super early.
That's fascinating. And so if you can just share a little bit of an example that comes to mind, you know, like just to kind of get a sense of your research, something you've published that, you know, like
absolutely.
You want to share with us.
Yeah. So as I sort of developed my interests, I started becoming interested in not just our perceptions of each other, but what are called meta perceptions. So perceptions of other people's perceptions. So I know that sounds really abstract. So sometimes meta perceptions are what we think other people are thinking about us, or maybe what we think is true about them, which might or might not be correct. So just our beliefs about what's going on in other people's heads. And that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with my elementary school stuff. I think that comes in other places. But an example of that from my own research would be, I've been doing a project for several years now on classroom trigger warning perceptions among students. So I don't know if you're familiar with this, but there are some books that, and some sort of cultural discourse that talk about the idea that students may be requesting kind of protective treatment from faculty. So this is the characterization of students as asking to be protected from sensitive material. And I don't think that characterization is quite right about this generation of students. And so some of my work looks at whether maybe alternatively they might be drawing inferences about what they think other students need and asking for those as a form of collective care. So asking for the needs that they perceive in their in co-students rather than the needs that they themselves have. And so some of my data like supports that idea. The policy recommendations that students make about classroom trigger warning policies are more associated with what they think other people need than what they themselves claim they need.
Wow.
Yeah, that is quite interesting, right? And that's not, you know, consistent with the idea that they're being selfish, But I will say that doesn't mean that the students are necessarily quote unquote right, because they might be misperceiving the needs of others. But still, that still would be a very different idea about where they're coming from. You know, their hearts are in the right place, right? So this sort of collective ethic of trying to make sure that we are okay.
Right.
So that's one of the things that my research has kind of gone toward and that I'm still thinking about right now.
That's fascinating, and it's interesting because it's got such relevance, right, to the real world. It's not just a theoretical idea. It's something that can be brought into the real world to look at, okay, so what do we do with this knowledge, or what do we do with this, you know, what the evidence is showing. So
yeah.
That's really fascinating. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
All right, let me ask the next question here. So Psychology 101 fulfills the JMU sociocultural area requirements for general education,
yeah.
Right? Meaning students are expected to understand people who might be different from them and the importance of multicultural perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think about the role of culture, you know, different social identities, multicultural perspectives in the context of your research or even like the subfield?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think pretty much everything I study actually has something to do with difference, whether it's about thinking about differences between individuals, or so individual differences, which is part of what we're talking about there,
mm-hmm.
or thinking about differences between groups,
mm-hmm.
And whether people are perceiving those correctly, or what are the social actions they're taking by perceiving them in certain ways. So I guess I always see the world through the lens of the issue of social identities as well as personal identities, and how those types of lenses can kind of frame everything that we're doing. I'm trying to think about how I would connect that to the example I just gave about the trigger warning policies.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible to imagine that that the more closely kind of connected you are with people, the more you might be accurate in your understanding of what their needs are. So it's possible to imagine, like, one might be making some attempts to help other people in a way that really adds up to a form of stereotyping, but it would not feel that way from the inside. It would feel like mm-hmm. an attempt to be helpful, right?
Right.
So I guess I think all of that stuff is kind of woven through the question of how we are perceiving other people,
mm-hmm.
like whether we're sharing social identities with them or not sharing social identities with them is one of the kind of core split points or pivot points that frames what happens next.
That's really interesting. And that kind of leads me to the question about the interdisciplinary nature of our field, right? I mean, like, if you think about psychology.
Yeah.
So I'm curious in terms of how you see other disciplines outside of psychology and how it integrates.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, and especially with findings, with theories from the subfield into, you know, your research or just practice or what you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give an example
of an
interesting application of research outside psychology?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I mean, I can do my best here. So psychology is part of the College of Health and Behavioral Studies. So since coming to JMU, which was only a couple of years ago, I've been thinking more about the relationship between the work I do and health, and especially like community health. And one connection is definitely that people have applied the idea that we tend to, or we frequently misperceive what's true about others, the social norms that are true about other people. We misperceive those. That application has led to some specific interventions related to health. So I might give an example of smoking or alcohol use. People very commonly think that others are doing more of that than they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And they wind up kind of falsely conforming themselves to a sort of falsely perceived norm that it's higher. So I think that might be one of the ways that some insights from social psych, mm-hmm. not from clinical psych, but from social psych, have been used outside of, you know, a strictly psychological kind of context to improve or intervene in health behavior.
That's really interesting, especially given we're in the university setting.
Yeah.
I suspect this has a lot of relevance
Yeah, absolutely. Not just our college, but the university as a whole.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
for
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. All right. So now we're going to wrap up with our last question here. And I would love for you to share with us what advice you would give to yourself back when you were a student in Psych 101.
Totally. Absolutely. Well, I was a really bad Psych 101 student. Not in terms of performance, although that's true as well, but because I had such a bad attitude about it, I was really angry that I had to take Psych 101 in college because I had taken AP Psych and I felt like I should have been able to skip over Psych 101, but my college actually did not accept AP scores. So I'm starting there in my answer because my advice to myself would have been to chill out a little bit about that because Psych 101 is such a broad topic that actually the psych class I had to take in college was a completely different class than my AP class. Not level wise, just in terms of the emphases of the instructor, like really different. And if I had gone to class more and just been open to the experience, which I was not, I would have really benefited. I really wish I could go back and benefit from those lectures now. I really missed out. I just wish that I could have kept more of an open mind about the possible growth of learning about a field that is so broad. That each instructor really has an important role to play in curating the subset of things that you will learn and how they will be kind of connected together over the semester, leading to some very different experiences.
But you stayed the course, though.
Well, if I wanted to be a psych major, I had to. But again, just to emphasize, I'm quite ashamed of what a bad attitude I brought to the, I'm sure the professor was like, what is wrong with this person? Because I was not, I'm not proud of myself.
Him or her, or whoever the person was, like a little note today and say, it all turned out great.
Yeah. So he's retired, but it's notable that I did not wind up working with him later on, right? Because to me, he was just totally associated with this thing I didn't want to have to do.
Right. I think that's great feedback to our students because, and I love your transparency, to share that experience because at the end of the day, we all come from different experiences, right? And, you acknowledge that. And so for anybody who's listening, regardless of what's going on with your experience right now with your class, this is good information, lean in is what I'm hearing you say, and stay open.
Totally.
Because you just never know what could be ahead.
Yeah, totally.
Well, thank you so much, Professor Salvatore. This has been a wonderful time just learning a little bit about your background, and thank you for participating in today's podcast.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the great questions.
Okay. Cheers.